noticed something. Now, I'm not noticing it today, but in years past, I've noticed something about the Sunday following Thanksgiving. With all the feasting and the traveling and the football and the visiting and the shopping and the cooking and the baking, people are, and I mean this in a good way, not in a bad way as far as overindulgence, but people are just kind of like hungover from Thanksgiving with all the turkey and stuff. I'm not talking about hungover because of drunkenness. But hungover, just you've eaten so much, you visited, you traveled, you waited in line. And let me tell you, I can't believe that there were people who were waiting over an hour in a line to buy a few throws and a few pillows and some, a toaster. But, more power to you. No one told me they did that, so I hope I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. But, at the end, a lot of times on Sunday, in fact, this might be me after this morning's message, I don't know. Everything's so busy with everything going on and you're working and whatnot, you just collapse into your bed because you're totally spent. How many have ever been there? Maybe not this Thanksgiving or any Thanksgiving, but at some point in your life, you just went through some long, hard days and you were just wiped out. That happens, and a lot of times it happens for good reasons, sometimes for bad reasons, but we feel spent. And we can do so physically, we can work physically hard where our bodies are just physically exhausted. We've been doing maybe a lot of manual labor, not so much mental or emotional, but physically we're exhausted. And so we just, collapse into the bed and sleep for hours on end. And that's also something we can overindulge in. Sometimes, though, it might be a mental thing. We've had a really intense time, especially if you're in school and you've been doing a lot of studying and taking tests, and we need to really pray for our college kids. It's crunch time for them and some of our high school kids because finals and exams are coming up and, they're going to have to spend a lot of time studying, cramming, and getting in papers and different things. And I work with a lot of young people and they're feeling the stress. And so you can just be so mentally exhausted where you can't even put a sentence together. People can be that way. Of course, there's times where we're emotionally spent, where we might have had kind of a seesaw up and down emotional experience happen where our emotions are very, very fragile, for lack of a better term. And you can always sense, here's a telltale sign when you're emotionally spent. The slightest bad news brings you to a place of tears. I say that kiddingly, but it's true. We can be emotionally spent. But today we're going to look at a scripture, and all these things kind of tie in together because that's what makes up a human being in Christ. We have our physical bodies, which are important to God. They're important to God. And we know this because God's going to raise them up at the end, amen, perfectly whole and well. We have our minds that God has given us. We have our emotional being. And we have, if we've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we've been born again. We are now people of the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives and runs through us and flows through us. And they're all different parts of us, but they're all together as well. In fact, if one is affected, if one is afflicted, it affects the other parts of us, the other parts of our being. But the thing that we're going to look at this morning is those times of spiritual exhaustion or when we crash spiritually, because it happens. I remember once I was praying with a minister, and I love praying with you folks. I love, prayer times, and I love praying with pastors because, we kind of pray the same things. And I remember once I was praying with this pastor, this minister, and he just called out to God. I'm not sure everything that he was going through. Well, some of the things I knew, and I knew he was going through a tough time, and he just said this to God, "God, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty." He had a spiritual dry time in his life. He was spiritually empty. He experienced a spiritual crack. He was crying out to God to fill him. Those happen. But when they do happen, hallelujah, the Bible teaches us that God can bring us to a rock that's higher than us and give us a drink from the well that will never run dry, that satisfies, not only satisfies the soul, but refreshes, restores, and revives us. And so we're going to take a look at that this morning. Our opening text is from Psalm chapter 63, verse 1. It's the words of David, and you might notice at the beginning of that psalm, there's a note as far as the occasion that it was written, and this was written when David was in the wilderness. He was going through a distressing time. And he writes, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." Let's bow our hearts together. Let's ask God's blessing as we look to the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we love you so much and praise you, O God, because number one, you sent Jesus to die on the cross, to rise again in power and authority and victory over the grave, that we, Lord, might be forgiven of every sin and be given the hope of eternal life in Christ. And we thank you that you didn't stop there. You sent your Holy Spirit to empower us, to restore and revive us in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, today for your word. And as we look to your word this morning, we ask, dear God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, for your anointing to continue to flow in this place today. God, we need your Holy Spirit. May you speak, Lord, through your servant. May you give us all ears to hear what your Spirit is saying today. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Two things regarding the will of God in our lives as it relates to these spiritual dry times or spiritual crashes that we might experience. And you might say, well, what exactly do you mean by that? Times that we feel just empty, where you don't have anything to give. And I'll give you one example, one personal example from my life. There are times, and various things will contribute to this, but usually if I've been kind of pouring myself into a particular series of messages and been just meditating on one theme and preaching on that theme for a while, and then it's over. And then, you know, I finally finished that theme and it stretched out over a number of weeks. And I get up on Monday morning and I think to myself, I have no idea what I'm going to speak on next Sunday morning. I ain't got nothing, for lack of a better term. I look down, there's nothing there. And if there have been other contributing factors during the week, I just might feel spiritually spent, where I've got nothing to give. And what is God's calling on our lives? That we be people, number one, of worship, who worship God. Amen? Who give glory and honor. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. But number two, to declare the glory of God to others. So we, in loving God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, loving our neighbor as ourselves, we give of ourselves to God and to others. And there are times where we're just empty and we just don't have anything to give to the Lord or anyone else. Two things regarding the will of God, regarding this state. We need to understand as believers that our success, and when I say success as a believer, I'm talking about hearing those words at the end of time when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not whether or not we'll get into heaven, but for our reward, as we're saved by grace through faith. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That our success as believers depends on our longevity, our ability to consistently serve the Lord, consistently worship Him, consistently serve Him. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 24, verse 13, "The one who stands firm to the end will be saved." King James, "He who endures to the end shall be saved." Know this about your Christian walk of faith. It's a long distance run. It's not a sprint. And if you try to sprint to the finish line and not pace yourself and take proper care. You'll burn out. It's another message for another time. But quitters are not what God is looking for in the kingdom. But secondly, the promise of God is this. As far as recovering from spiritual crashes or spiritual burnout, we could have also entitled the message that today, is not something that we have to get ourselves out of. It is God's will that we be raised up when we feel empty, broken, burned out in a crash. Think reading Psalm 103, verse 5. Speaking of God, He's the one who satisfies your desires with good things so that what? Your youth is renewed like the eagles. It, you know, our bodies, as we grow older, will get slower. You know, fingers and the back and, you know, all that stuff, that happens. But our spirit should still soar like the eagles and be just like young men and young women in Jesus. Amen? I'm not saying we'll all be all old and decrepit physically, but you know what I'm saying? It should always be young women and young men within the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless your age, your youth being renewed as the eagles. But who does it? It's not me. It's not a five-step plan. It's the ministry of the living water, the Holy Spirit working and moving within you. Not only does God want you to be a long-distance runner who runs strong to the end, He will empower you to do so. But we go through those spiritual crashes that sometimes just suck the life out of us. A couple things about these crashes or times that we feel spent. Number one is that they happen to everyone. All of us, two things. All of us, at some point, will experience a spiritual crash where we just feel empty. Number two, I dare say, because I know you have all been serving God for a while, all of us have experienced spiritual crashes. And whom I'm talking about this morning, and I know I'm preaching to the choir, I'm not talking to the fringe Christian this morning. And what I mean by that, there's some people who are just happy to kind of go to church, sing a song, hear a little word, and then go back into their lives and just live as though Jesus doesn't exist at all. Whom I'm talking about are those people who have received Christ and who press in to a close relationship with Him. You mean business with Jesus. You want to glorify Jesus in everything you do. You want more of Jesus in your life. You want to be moved. You want to be moved by Jesus, but you want to be used by God to bring honor and glory to His name. You know, not just the fringe Christian who just kind of comes in and comes out, you know, the Sunday morning thing. If you're that type of person who means business with Jesus, you're going to experience those burnouts. They happen. Those crashes where you just, I don't have anything. And you need to realize, as such, that they are not, you should not, when you experience those times, you should never feel guilty about it. Because it's part of life. It's part of being a human being. It's part of being that vessel of clay. We're, you know, vessels of clay, as the Apostle Paul teaches. In fact, there's a verse in Scripture, Book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse 30, that tells us this very thing, that it's not something to beat yourself over the head about. Even the youths grow weary, or grow tired and weary, and the young men stumble and fall. One of the things we have to be very careful of, you know, and the enemy is you know, he's such a liar, and he's so devious, and so we need to be on aware that he is a liar, but also aware of what his lies are. That, you know, when we wake up some morning and we just like, oh, I just don't have it in me today. Spiritually, there's just nothing in the tank. Sunday morning, whatever it might be. That we think the reason is because I'm a bad Christian. Let me tell you, there are no bad Christians. And there's the reason I say that, the reason there are no bad Christians is we've been made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not saved by how we feel. We're not saved by what we do. by what we do. We are saved by whom we believe in. Don't give the enemy an occasion to plant that lie within your soul that when you feel spiritual. In fact, if you feel spiritually spent, it's probably because you've just been given and given and given, and you need to take some time to spend with Jesus. Could be a good thing. So realize it's not a reason to feel guilty, but also realize when you're spiritually spent, it's not an excuse to quit. I see this, and I've always seen this, and I'm talking about in secular jobs, and you've probably seen it as well. You know, there are people, they could have a broken leg, they could be, you know, sick, beyond sick, I don't want to get too graphic, but they will come to work, they will crawl into work because they are just so dedicated to working. And then you got other people, I had a little headache this morning, so I can't come in today. And it seems to be more increasing, you know. And I know there's a few younger people, but I know the younger people we have here are very hardworking people, so I know we're not talking about them. As Simon looks at Cody. But sometimes when we're empty and we have nothing to give, and I, you know, you can say, Pastor, you don't have the luxury of doing that. I know I don't have the luxury of doing that. When I don't have anything and saying, well, I just don't have it today, I'm just going to. Actually, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, have that love. I just don't. God, I just don't have it today. I'm just going to back out of, you know, worship or service. I just don't have it. It's not an excuse. As borne out by our text this morning, David, although he was empty, although David experienced this spiritual crash, he didn't run away from God. He ran to God. What are some of the causes of these crashes or spiritual dry times? Well, I know, you know, personally, when we've been, you know, if you've been working long and hard, you know, overextending yourself, and this happens spiritually as well. And it's interesting when you're doing a lot, sometimes when you're doing a lot of ministry, you're not, because of time and other obligations that we have, we're not spending as much time with the Lord, you know, those longer periods of prayer and just reflection that are just so important and necessary. So those long, grinding times of serving Jesus, and of course, big tragedies that happen, losing a loved one, having a job situation or some kind of crisis. They can be emotionally exhausting and trigger these spiritual things. But two things from Scripture, one regarding our text and one regarding Elijah, I think we need to be aware of. As far as what could precipitate, or what could bring us to a place of emptiness. The first being overwhelming circumstances. Circumstances that are too much for us. And as believers, not only is there no promise that we won't experience overwhelming circumstances, there's a sure promise that we will if you're serving Jesus. Face overwhelming circumstances. I'm not talking about temptation, you know, as far as God providing a way out. I'm talking about it being too much. God, there's just too much going on in my life. There's no promise in Scripture that says that won't happen to you. Think of the 23rd Psalm. Yea, though I walk through the what? The valley of the shadow of death. You know, the Scripture doesn't say the Good Shepherd bypasses that. It says he leads us through that. And this is seen in David's life. When did David write this? It was when he was in the wilderness. And he didn't go out to the wilderness to meet with God. You know, it wasn't, I'm going on this spiritual journey, so I want to get away from everything and just be with God. He was running for his life. He was the favored son. Everybody loved him. And literally overnight, the rage and the jealousy of Saul, the king of the land, overtook him. And David became public enemy number one. And there was no place of safety. There was no city he could go to find refuge. And so not only did he have to face the enemies of Israel, he had to face Israel, the country, the nation itself. And it was constant. He couldn't stay in one place too long. As soon as he stayed too long, the people in that day, they would go tell Saul, and it wore on him. Overwhelming circumstances. When stuff happened, and it's interesting, you know, if I could only have one thing happen at a time, but sometimes it doesn't work that way. That's life. And so the family thing and the financial thing and the job thing and this thing and that, all of a sudden happens at once. It can sap you of your spiritual strength. But overwhelming hardship and difficulty is not the only thing that precipitates these spiritual crashes or dry times. Believe it or not, success is also something that can precipitate or lead to a place of emptiness. And we see this in the life of Elijah, one of the mightiest prophets of God in the Old Testament, and the high point of his ministry. We read about it in 1 Kings chapter 18. It was a great chapter of victory. It starts off where he challenges the prophets of Baal. And he says to the prophets of Baal, you know, and the Lord must have been all over him to do that. I'm sure it was not in arrogance. But he challenges the prophets of Baal, listen, we're both going to make a sacrifice. And then we're going to pray to our gods. I'm going to pray to the one true God. You're going to pray to your gods that don't even exist. Because there is no other God than God himself. And whoever's God lights that sacrifice on fire, that'll be the one true God, and that'll be the God of Israel. So the prophets, 400 prophets of Baal came, and they built their altar, and they put their sacrifice on it, and they called out to Baal, I think from the morning to the evening, and they cried, and they cut themselves, and they did all this song and dance, crying in vain to an empty God, a God who is not there. The God of stone is just that, just stone, can't help you, and nothing happened. And then Elijah, and he just doesn't pray. Before he prays and asks God to light his sacrifice on fire, he builds a trench around that altar, and he drenches that sacrifice with such an abundance of water that the trench around that altar is full, just soaked. And I don't know about you, if you've ever been camping, you can ask Commander Brown, you try to start a fire with wet wood, it ain't going to happen. And he doesn't carry on a song and dance, and we don't have to make a song and dance for God to do anything. He just called out to God in a simple, humble prayer, and the fire of God came down in such a powerful way. And not only was the sacrifice consumed, but all that soaking water that was around that altar was licked up, as the scripture says, or evaporated. God moved in power. The prophets of Baal were defeated. Israel was saying, there was one true God, the God of Israel. Everything was great. And then later on in the chapter, he prays. There had been a drought, no rain for 3 years. He prays, and there was abundance of rain. In the last verse of this chapter, the power of the Lord came on Elijah. And tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab. Ahab was in a chariot, by the way. He ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. I mean, God was not just working through Ahab. He wasn't just doing great. Elijah, not Ahab. But God was on him in a powerful way. He was on a spiritual high. But listen to his words just a few short verses later after he received just a little bit of adverse, a threat. Nothing physically happened to him, but he received a threat. First Kings 19, verse 4, while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And I have found this to be true in my life. Ministry. Some of the biggest crashes believers in the Lord Jesus, spiritually, that believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have experienced have come off of tremendous victories. You know, I love the mountaintop. Mountaintops are just like that. You go up and then down and then up again. We'd like to stay up there and go even higher, but life isn't like that. And sometimes we get so caught up in the mountaintop that when we make our way down the mountain, we allow the shadow to overtake our soul. And Elijah, despite being a mighty, powerful man of God, allowed just that to happen. So how do we recover from the spiritual crash? Well, number one, we don't go back to the old way of living Psalm 63, verse 1. You, O God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry, parched land where there is no water. Let me tell you where you will not get refreshed, and that is in the things and the institutions and the wisdom of the world. Don't go back to the things that used to get you through life before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because it will not revive your spirit. What are some of those things? Well, one of the things that people do when they're overwhelmed is it just sit and sulk. Did you ever do that? Don't raise your hand. Yeah, and there's an emotional thing about that. For some, if not all people, when you sulk, there's a perverse good feeling that comes out of it. That perverse gratification, when I'm sulk, I'm going to be angry and I'm going to love it. But that's not going to get you back to where you need to be, full of the Holy Spirit, loving and worshiping God and serving other people. It's just not going to do it. And then these days, and this is very something we need to be very careful of, especially in our society today, we hear so much about self-medicating. Some people, instead of seeking the new wine of the Holy Spirit, go back to the old wine of the world, whether it be drugs or alcohol or whatever it might be, things of the world to get them through. That's not God's path of restoration for you. They'll go back to those old ways because there is no water in them. Two things Psalm 63 teaches us. Number one is to thirst for God, and number two is to cleave to God. You know, the simple answer would be, just seek God, and that it's not a bad answer. It's a good answer. Isaiah 40, 31 puts it this way: those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Listen, you need your spirit revived. Spend time in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And I can't stress the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost. It's a wonderful gift that God has given us. He who prays in an unknown tongue, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, builds him or herself up, or edifies himself, if you're reading King James Version. Pray in the Holy Ghost. It's a beautiful gift that God has given us in the precious name of Jesus. But that's kind of the simple answer. The more specific answer laid out for us in this psalm of empty David crying out to God to fill him to overflowing and renew his heart is this: to thirst for God, and number two, to cleave to God. Very quickly, thirsting for God means you are eager for God. You've been out in the hot sun working all day, and you didn't bring anything to drink with you when you go into the house after working out in the hot sun and perspiring and doing whatever you're doing. You go and sit down and write a letter or start reading the newspaper? Or do you, because you're so thirsty, run to the refrigerator and guzzle down a gallon of ice-cold water to refresh your physical body? If you're empty of spirit, seek the living water that will never run dry, that will refresh your soul. Because the Bible tells us, he who hungers and thirsts, Matthew chapter 5, shall be what? Filled. Hallelujah. Thirst for God, which means be eager to spend time with God, to get connected with God, that you might, like that pastor was, God, I'm empty, I'm empty, I'm empty. He was crying out to God. Such were the words of David in Psalm 63:1. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I will seek you. I thirst for you, indicating that he was dry inside. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Be eager. Put into practice what David is demonstrating here. Number two, in order to whet your appetite or your thirst for the Lord, remember your past experiences with Jesus. David brings this out in the second verse. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. He's not talking about something he hopes to experience one day. There was a reason why he called out to God to fill him, because he knew what being filled was like. He had been filled with the power and the glory. He had seen the glory of God. He had felt the anointing upon his life. He knew it was real. He knew it was good. He knew it was powerful. And so he called out to God, God, fill me once again. Not only with eagerness, but with understanding, with knowledge, because he remembered the old paths that brought him to that place of refreshing the first time or overflowing the first time. Thirdly, we need to be discerning or distinguishing as far as what is really important in life, or what's real in life, or what's true in life, or what's powerful in life. Listen to verse 3. What a great verse, but a challenging verse. Your love is better than life. My lips will glorify you. David, although in the wilderness there wasn't like the forest, and that is dry, arid, let me tell you something that David wanted more than water, more than companionship, more than a woman, more than anything while he was out in this lonely, lonely place. That was the love of God in his heart, because the love of God is real. It beats. The heart of God is real, and it's something we can experience. Your love, I would give my life to experience your love. I don't care what hardship I would have to go through. I don't care what I have to sacrifice, because nothing in this life, nothing about my being is worth a moment of your love within me. Thirst for God. Not only thirst for God, cleave to God. We should not only be eager, we should be expectant. Verse 5, I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. This was not a prayer that David uttered in vain. He prayed this because he knew if he called out to God, if you call, I will answer, that God was going to answer him and fill him to overflowing with his presence and restore and revive his spirit, which he did time after time after time. Even when he failed God, David called out to God, God, fill them to overflow the power and the presence of his Holy Spirit. Expect God to move. It's something that moves us to that place of cleaving to or clinging to God. Focus on the Lord. David writes in Psalm 63, verse 6, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Listen, if you want your spirit to be revived by God's Holy Spirit, you want to be filled again, your meditations need to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not football, not your career, not this thing or that thing, but on the Lord Jesus himself. And here's a good test to see whether or not your meditations, my meditations of him shall be sweet. As the psalmist said, you know, David was a man whose heart was after God. What do you think of when, you know, I know during the day we're busy, you're doing your job, you're doing different things, we're not always thinking in the forefront of our mind. But when you lay your head down, your pillow at night, everything's quiet, what are you thinking about? Or may I put it this way, who are you? Are you thinking about the Lord Jesus' love, his grace? Are his words flowing through your mind? Are you singing songs in the night? Or are they on other things? Thinking about, I'm going to do tomorrow, how I can get ahead. These are choices that we make. And thirdly, we cleave to God not only by focusing on him, but by abiding in him. Psalm 63, verses 7 and 8, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. We live in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, something happens over time, especially when things are going good. We depend less on the Holy Spirit. You know, when things are going good, it just happens. We depend less. I do have to, but I don't feel I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit to help me in my marriage when my marriage is good. I don't feel I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit for ministry in the church when the church is doing good. I don't feel like I have to depend upon the Holy Spirit as if my life depends on it at my job or other relationships when they're going good. It's easy to, you know, back off. Hey, you know, I got this. Everything's going great. But, if we're really honest with ourselves, we need the presence, the anointing, or the empowerment of God each and every day for everything that we do, every relationship we do, every task that we're called to do. Which means we need to live and walk in the Holy Ghost, and anointing of the Holy Spirit, seeking. That's why, you know, Scripture says pray without seeking. You know, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, every situation that we're facing during the day, we're asking God, Lord, Lord, help me. Lord, be glorified in me. Lord, touch, answer, live and abide in Christ. Giving thanks to God as we do. So, Sister Tony, if you would like to come this morning, and we're going to sing a chorus of thanksgiving today as we prepare to close the message and give opportunity for folks to spend time with the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's not a sin to feel spiritually burnt out or spent or have a spiritual crash. In fact, it happens. It happens to everyone. But it's a shame if we stay there and don't turn our hearts towards God and allow the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead to not only live in us, to raise us up as well. Amen? And you might be here this morning feeling spiritually empty. It may have nothing to do with Thanksgiving. With too much turkey and too much football, it may just be too much life, too much serving. Sometimes we're empty because, you know, we haven't been spending as much time with God, and that happens too. You can't run on fumes for too long. It catches up to you. And believe me, I know I've been there as well. I'm not sharing that haughtily or this morning. If you're empty today, cry out, just cry out to God. In fact, let's stand. Let's cry out to God for God to refresh us.